You are listening to the official podcast of Salem Tabernacle in Beacon, New York, a community of people devoted to experiencing life as God meant it to be.
A reading from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterward, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty, until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." And she went and did as Elijah said. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The word of the Lord.
And then would you stand for the gospel reading? This is from Mark 12. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces." Say marketplaces.
Marketplaces.
"And have the best seats in the synagogues." Say synagogues.
Synagogues.
"And the places of honor at feasts." Say feasts.
Feasts.
"Who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words that I offer up to you would become bread for the hearers, that it would become nourishing to our souls. And I pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. So I'm going to have them put the title screen up because today I get to talk about one of my favorite subjects, which is bread. I love bread. I like all kinds of bread. I like to bake bread. I have baked hamburger buns and pretzels and French baguettes and a crusty Italian bread to soak up all the tomato sauce and Haitian bread to soak up the stewed chicken. Amen, John. I like making roti. This week I made naan. So good. It had this little tangy taste to it because of the yogurt, and it was just so delicious. Anyway, I could go on and on and on about bread because it's so delicious. And I love to make it. And if you would picture with me, picture that I have this amazing reputation for making bread. And you've heard all about my skills from other people, and you're like, man, I gotta try this bread. I've just heard about how she gets the crust perfectly crispy, and the inside is warm and soft, and it's risen to the perfect timing just before it starts to fall, and the gluten's so developed, and it's so amazing. It smells good. It tastes good. I cannot wait. And I say, I'm gonna have you over my house. I've made some bread. We're going to share it. And you're so excited. You're like, I'm not going to eat all day long because I really want to enjoy this loaf of bread. So you come to my house, and I put the bread out, and it's on display on my table, and you're so excited. You could see the steam rising. You could smell it when you walk in the house, right? That fragrance that gets you excited for it. Such a nice smell. And we sit down, and you're like ready. You're waiting. And I'm like, look at this bread. Isn't it amazing? I got a nice brown crust on it from, you know, doing a little ice cubes on the bottom of the oven so the steam gets to bake. Like, I'm like going on and on about it. And you're like, awesome. When are we going to try it? And I'm like, no. I invited you here to enjoy my bread. Let's just look at it. And so we're sitting there, and then, you know, an hour or two passes. We're still looking at my bread. It's not steaming anymore. And you're like, all right, well, are we going to have it? No. We're just here to enjoy looking at it. All right, see you later. What's going to happen to that bread if it's not used? 2 or 3 days. I mean, really, who can just sit and watch warm bread and not eat it, right? Like, you're supposed to wait a little bit just so the steam doesn't all completely go away. And it gets kind of trapped in the bread. Anyway, sorry. you just lost me in like bread heaven over here. What happens is it gets stale, right? It doesn't last very long. There's a reason why you have to go back to the store every couple of days if you have fresh bread, because it doesn't last. If you don't use it, it's going to get stale. And so what I want to talk about today is just what I feel is a simple word, is that we all have gifts in our lives. We all have goodness in our hearts. We all have blessings. We all have something that's good that can be offered. And being Christ's body, him being the bread, he's making us bread for the world. He's making us a thing that is nourishing, a thing that can be tasted and seen that God is good, a thing that when you smell the fragrance of the freshness of the bread, you get excited. You get excited about God's body because you can smell it, you can taste it. Jesus is good, right? God's making us that bread for the world, for each other. But if we don't use the gifts that he's given us, if we want to keep it on display and be excited about it, but say, you know what, I need to save this for another time because I'm not sure if I'll be able to make bread in 3 days. I'm going to save it. I believe that he wants us to use the bread while it's still fresh, to offer ourselves up while there's still something to offer. And there always will be. He's always giving us another chance. But I just want to encourage us today. So we read two stories in the lectionary. The first was the story of Elijah and the widow. And Elijah, the context for Elijah's story here is the rulers of Israel have been failing the people. They've been turning to idols, and then the prophets come and say, turn away from your idols, and they make promises to the people. Well, yeah, we're going to do this, but then they never actually do it, right? And then God's judgment comes, and he shows that the idols do not actually provide. The things that you're excited about that provide your security are not actually providing. There's famine, there's drought, there's things happening, right? And then a new king arises, and the same thing happens. And there's this pattern in the Old Testament over and over and over again of these new rulers rising up, and they've got their idols, and then they don't quite fully get rid of them. They're still putting their security in them. And then we see that the security, those idols are failing.
So this is the context for the story in Elijah. There's a famine, and there's a drought. And so far, God has provided a brook for Elijah, and he's provided food. The ravens are bringing him food. But it starts to dry up, the brook. And he hears a word from God, and he's first listening to it. And I want you to think about this in your life. He's listening to the word of God. His heart is open to it. Then he takes action, and he actually risks getting up from where the brook is, and instead of just sitting there and waiting and hoping that the brook will get more water, he believes God, he has faith, and he goes and he visits this widow who he's never met before. He has very little, but what he has is a word, and he has faith. And so this is one of the examples from the text where what we have might feel small. It might feel like the water inside of us has dried up. We might feel like there's a drought. There's just not a lot coming my way. But a word can sustain you. And there's been so many times in my life where something has gone wrong, or something has been scary for my future, or there's issues going on. And every single time that happens, my very first prayer is, God, I just need one word from you. I don't need everything to be fixed in this situation, but I know if I can get a word from you for me to stand on, a word, one word will give me the faith to get through this and to get through it well. So some of us that have that, all we have is just one word, and maybe we got it a while ago, but we still have faith and we can stand on it. And I want us to see that that is enough. Because what happens is he offers the widow his faith. The widow, she doesn't have much either. And what she's looking at, this little bit of flour and this little bit of oil, she's looking at it and she's saying, this is the last of it, I'm going to die. And she's not at first seeing, okay, I have another meal, so much as she's looking ahead and saying, there's nothing left after this. And I think how many times do we look at our gifts and what God's given us, whether it's something like tangible blessings or it's our skills, our interests, things that we can offer to people, and we say, it's just not enough. What I have, it doesn't feel like enough for me today. It doesn't feel like enough for anybody else. What can I possibly offer? This last little bit of my energy, my time, whatever it is, if I give it to someone, I'm not going to have anything left. But Elijah takes the word, takes his faith, and together there's a mutual offering here. She offers her resources, he offers the word, and together, those things together create something that's nourishing, and it nourishes for a long time. And it says a few verses later that we didn't read, there was companionship there. They stayed together. The widow, Elijah, her son, her whole household was benefiting and being nourished from this little bit that each of them had. So I believe that one reason why the brook dried up was to show us that sometimes, most of the time, we just need the other person. They each had something the other person didn't have. She needed a word, and she had a little bit of resources. He had the word, had no resources, and together they had what they needed. So together, we each have something to offer. But if we stay by ourselves and we try to hold on to it and we say, no, I don't have enough for you, I just have enough for me, there's nothing we can do about it. It's like if you put the loaf of bread in front of the table, you're not going to eat it, they're not going to eat it. It's just sitting there. It's on display, but it's not offering nourishment. So the widow gave the first loaf to Elijah. She at first said, I don't have anything, we're going to die. And he said, but I'm bringing a word, have faith. And it was enough. They added their faith together. She had a little, he had a word, they added it together, and it became enough. And what she gained by being willing to offer that little bit was not just bread, she gained a miracle. She was able to see something that she had only ever heard about in story, that God provided bread for his people, miraculously. So I think of the story of the manna, right? There was a little bit each day. And God said, "If I want you to go out and gather each day. And if you gather more every day, it turns to worms." And the people, because they were afraid, because they felt the need to control the security for themselves, their future security, they gathered more, and it turned to worms. We see the individual manna, we see the daily bread as being just a little bit. But God wants to give us fresh eyes to see that that is abundance. What they have is abundance because it came over and over and over again, and it didn't look like a stockpile. It didn't look like a massive amount that we can really have security in. We don't need to trust God anymore because we have security in having built up and saved up and stored all the things that we have just in case we need it for the future. That is not abundance. That is a limited amount, no matter how much it looks like abundance. But abundance is the sustaining word of God, the sustaining offering of yourselves and what God makes of that. That is abundance. And it looks very different from that stockpile because you have to keep trusting God for daily bread. But what you get is a miracle. And then we have the widow with the two coins and the scribes. And I think the reason why these two stories of the scribes who are in the marketplace and the synagogues and they're looking for attention and the widow that gave the two coins are put side to side to teach us something through the comparison. So you have the scribes, and I want you to listen to how they're talked about. I believe the scribes, just before we do that, I believe that the scribes are the part of us that, the part of the world that pulls on our hearts, that wants us to focus on my gifts and blessings and what I have as my Savior. It's what gives me security, okay? So number one, this security is man-made. You'll notice that they're doing things to get the greetings, the best seats, the places of honor. They're wearing the long robes. They're saying these really long prayers because they want to be noticed. But what happens is when we try to make something of ourselves so that we can secure ourselves and our future and secure our sense of value and worth, we end up exhausting ourselves because we always have to be standing next to the stockpile guarding it, making sure that nobody asks for too much or takes too much. And I'll give you some of my wealth, but only if I feel comfortable, if I already feel okay that day. I'll just make sure that I, you know, can give you something that doesn't bother at all my security. I won't take a risk. I'll just make sure that I still have everything I need for the future. Don't need to trust in God at all. So verses 38 and 39 in the Mark scripture, I believe these show us how we are tempted to see what we have in our lives. And I think these are ways of identifying if we're putting the bread behind the display glass, if we're storing it up for ourselves, okay? So the first thing is they're looking for greetings. They like greetings. I see this as recognition. The focus is on if I can achieve recognition, I will feel a sense of security. I will feel a sense of place in this world and know that I can stand on that. And so I'm going to get those greetings and feel good that I've drawn attention to myself. The second wording is best seats. They're looking for the best seats in the synagogue. And I saw this as a sense of superiority. If I feel like I've achieved just enough to be seen as someone worthy of the best seats, to be seen as someone that needs to be respected, and someone that's just my ideas and everything are just a little bit better than yours, I stockpile that up. I hoard it up for myself. And then the places of honor, looking for the places of honor at feasts. This is the focus of the appearance of value. The places of honor, I think, symbolize feeling valuable, feeling worthy. And if I can just make that happen for myself, I will feel secure in myself. Notice that when our focus is on obtaining these things, you automatically develop this competition, right? This feeling of superiority, and it pits us against anyone that blocks us from achieving that, because I have to do just a little bit better than you. And then you have the areas of our lives where we might be putting that trust in our achievements, that putting that security away. So, in the marketplace, I see the marketplace as my ability to provide or feeling secure for my projected future. The marketplace is where my blessings and gifts must serve to maintain my lifestyle, where what I have needs to be more, so I'm going to try to obtain money and possessions. And even if I don't have the possessions, I just want to have the option to have had them. I want the option to have possessed it, even if I didn't actually purchase it. My gifts in the marketplace are the ones that make me feel like I have to stockpile and hoard up everything and consume what my heart desires without worry for the future. And then you have the synagogue. They're standing in the synagogue and they're looking for the best, what was it? Not the best seats. Yeah, the best seats. They're looking for the best seats in the synagogue. I see this as wanting security in religious beliefs and experiences. So your bread may be behind the display glass if your blessings and gifts or what you have makes you feel morally superior to other people. Like, I live more right than you. How I live my life is the best way to live my life. Or they become the highlight of my ministry, or become a stepping stool to promote me. And how easily are all of these things something that can pull at us, right? We're not talking about a specific person necessarily. We're talking about in every interaction, in every situation in your life, every moment, we have the option to decide, am I going to offer to people, or am I going to make security for myself and hold on to that? So others are awed by me. Like, I have this skill set. I am talking in church, and if people are awed by me, or they're respecting me more, or I feel that they're now reliant on me, that could be a way that I am stockpiling that security for myself, making myself feel secure instead of trusting in God. And then I always know what's best for you. I have the best stances. I know the best way that church or other Christians should operate. All of those things surrounding the synagogue, all those things surrounding Christian life that make me feel like I'm the best. I've got it together. I can trust in this. And then the last thing is the feasts. And I see the feasts as my ability to gain value or worth by people's relational attention. So if I'm counting on what I have, my blessings, my gifts, my ability to sway you, my ability to make a friend, if I'm counting on that for my value, to see that makes me more desirable or more lovable, or it increases my rank in social structures, right? And I need to hold on to that. Or a personal recognition, just believing that my personal recognition in life is based on what I have to offer. Or I'm not recognized because I don't have it. We might be hiding the bread behind the display glass. The crazy thing about the scribes is Jesus says all these things that seem kind of hypocritical. They're looking for attention for themselves. So they're the type of people that, like, if we figured out what they were doing, we wouldn't really like them. But then he throws in this one little phrase in verse 40. They devour widows' houses. And he says that right before he shows us the widow. What's interesting about that is not only are they trusting in themselves for security, they're gaining by taking away from other people. They devour. So, we would consume people's time when we're focusing on keeping things for ourselves. We eat away at their resources. We exhaust their energy. We destroy their view of God. We take their security away so that we can feel more secure. And then here we have the two widows. Sorry, the widow with the two coins. What's interesting about this is that she was still giving the two coins to the temple and watching, probably, these people that had devoured the widow's houses, these people that had taken advantage of her, probably the reason why she only had the two coins in the first place. She's there, and somehow she's still giving faithfully. And I think that's amazing because it shows that she's putting her trust in God. She's putting her trust in God instead of other people. And when they were looking for attention, they were looking for other people's attention to sustain them. She was here just being faithful to God with whatever little she had. And I believe that she was given new eyes and new trust. She didn't have to have the heavy burden of trying to keep whatever she had that made her secure. She just gave it. It was the very last thing that she had to live on, and she gave it. And I think that when we offer, when we see what we have as something that can be offered, it's not the end, but the beginning. We can see it as the end. This is the last I have. This is going to be the end. The well is going to run dry. I'm not going to have any more flour or oil or coins after this. But she is now given a life lived meaningfully. Jesus' attention is on her. And instead of seeing those coins as being the end, this is the finality, she can now see it, instead of limitations on her security, she can see it as a new beginning. There's new bread that God wants to make of us daily. And so if we've, up until this point, lived most of our lives putting security in ourselves, we have the chance daily to be made fresh bread and to offer it to each other and to other people. I want to close with this quote by Chris Green. Our smallness is not only a limited reflection of God's, but also the interval or breach through which the divine humility can reach and revive all things. So our smallness is a small reflection of how God became small when he came down into the earth, and he gave, like the widow gave her two coins, he gave all of himself, became small. He gave everything. And that is what God can use to reach and revive all things. So let's pray. Would you stand on your feet? Worship team can come on up. God, we thank you that whatever we have is enough for you. Whatever we have that we offer that looks like just a little bit becomes everything that we need to strengthen ourselves, to strengthen each other,
that you've given us each other. And even if it just feels like one or two people, God, that is enough for you to work through. So I pray right now that as we go through this week, we would see ourselves as bread. We would see ourselves as something to offer. See ourselves as something to give that's fresh, that's comforting and warm and nourishing, and not hold on to it and let it get stale. I ask all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Tabernacle podcast. For more information about us, including gathering times and our location, check us out online at salemtabernacle.com.